Okay, this is Mae Bressel and Ray Fabrizio, and we'll go back with some more comparisons of the John Kennedy assassination and the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, because I think Ray and I both agree he probably won't outlive, for one reason or another, he's not going to go through these 4 years as president. He's been marked. So for all purposes, this is just the first gun, don't you think?
I'm afraid so.
I think so. There were other comparisons I just want to mention briefly, and I'll do more of this next week when I'm on the air. This January in 1981, in front of my house, January the 13th, there was a very suspicious car I could see from my window in the study, and I looked up, and this white car was sitting there with a male in there, and I asked them what they were doing there about 10 minutes, and they were looking for a room to rent in my house. The woman said she had been there before, an older woman, about 5 or 6 years older than the man. And he was spaced out on, it looked like drugs, and she looked like a tired kind of a hippie. And I made a note that he was 24 years old and stocky and a wide face, and they said that somebody in the house spoke German. And if I didn't have a room for them, maybe he could do some electrical work for me. And I asked to see his driver's license. It was 517 TSF, and he said his name was John Randall and that he lived in Santa Barbara. And I typed all this up because I was going to L.A. the next day and made note that he appeared to have this sort of Artie Bremer face, and he wouldn't answer questions. And she did the talking, and I asked him if he would talk. And I remembered just this week the John and the white automobile and Ronald Reagan's home base in Santa Barbara and John Hinckley being in California very often and not accounted for from October the 9th of 1980 until January 21st, 1981, where he shows up in Colorado. And I called the FBI and the Secret Service. They said the name on the license does not match this John Randall, whoever he was. And I had told a member of my family, I think I've seen the stormtrooper in front of the house. For all the world, he looked like a Nazi stormtrooper. So when the story came out about John, this John Hinckley, was interesting to me. He was about the same age, 1 year difference, the same body description, the same appearance, the same spaced out description that the motel people gave in Colorado just before he came to California. And his interest in the Kennedy assassination is, I understand, in Colorado, there's locked up in his family's home all these articles about Kennedy and John Lennon. And I had been for years doing connections of the Nazi party, the Kennedy assassination, and the conspiracy of John Lennon. And he had a lot of satisfaction in the Lennon murder and was consumed with the researchers and even had a picture of Oswald with him when he was doing these shootings. So I'll follow more next week on this subject, but I was calling the Secret Service and the FBI. This was Thursday night, and Friday morning at 8:30 in the morning, I got a telephone call from Marina Oswald in Texas, and Ray and I were talking about that before we went on the air, and I'll share that with you later. I don't want to divert from what we're doing, but I just, the people that take the tapes every week and are interested in this as a running process of understanding what is going on, I thought it was interesting that Marina called me, and we talked for about a half hour, because I was looking into the possibility of the Hinckley family and the oil engineers in Texas working with Marina and the people that she knew in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So it was quite a shock to get a call from her and talk about these matters just at the time I was investigating them. Now let's get back to the other coincidences or similarities, whatever they are. I don't think they're coincidences.
No, I'm afraid not. I maybe one, you have so much interesting stuff to get into. I don't want to take too much time here,
no.
But I think another parallel that that is obvious is the need to create a motive for these, quote, lone assassins. You know, I mean, they said that Lee Harvey Oswald killed, I mean, after all, you have to have a motive, right? Well, Lee Harvey Oswald was dead, so they could create any motive they wanted. And the story, the official story, is that Oswald killed Kennedy in order to go down in history.
The history. Oh, that's...
And yet he denied, of course, the motive. This motive is so absurd because a man who wants to go down in history as a killer of a president would proudly proclaim it, yet Oswald denied it always. Now, they've come up with a motive for Hinckley.
Yes.
He's in love with...
I guess you
mentioned that in your last tape, though, didn't you?
Well, a little bit. I mean, he wanted to be known as a person, you know, historical in stature to prove his love for her.
Right.
Ain't nobody who wanders... Well, you know, I've often said you take people that work in espionage like E. Howard Hunt... His children didn't even know he was a master spy for 20 years until Watergate. They don't go to known places. They don't have neon signs.
Of course not. They don't leave diaries. I think
they
it's
don't leave
peculiar. It's only, it seems to me, this, and I don't mean this in any unpatriotic sense, but it's only Americans who seem to believe these Disneyland stories. You know, can you imagine a European believing
that you leave notes
that
around?
These stories, they can't even come up with really sophisticated stories. To me, they're patently suspicious.
Well, I think that in order to close the case within 24 hours, you have to have the motive right there. And the adjectives that they've used, which we compare, say, the Kennedy assassination tonight to John Hinckley, were used also with Sirhan Sirhan, with charged with killing Robert Kennedy, James Earl Ray, with Martin Luther King, with Artie Bremer, the Wallace shooting, the SLA with their writings on the wall, or the Manson family, death to the pigs. And these notorious diaries are supposed to divert you from these lonely wanderers who go in and out of countries, who have passports, who, like John Hinckley, graduates from high school and travels for 7 years without only one arrest, and he's out in 34 minutes, staying Delta Airlines, American Airlines, the Sheraton hotels, motels with swimming pools. He has a car. He leaves at his parents' house. They tell you how he's going back and forth, the Dan White story, to McDonald's for hamburgers. Well, what about that white Valeri car he had, or whatever it was? You know, he has wheels. He has gas. It costs money as much as us. He's in college a few years. He's up in Illinois. He's in Washington, D.C., where he's pictured in front of the White House, Lee Harvey Oswald, you know, the route from the Marines to home base to New Orleans to Paris and Le Havre and Finland and Moscow, and then back home, and the government pays his way. A loner rejected. Every time...
Yeah, the loner rejected.
James Earl Ray's in London. He's in Portugal. He's up in Montreal. They're all over the world.
I've often wondered what there is about these concocted, simplistic stories that Americans seem to eat up. I think it's I think we desperately want to believe that that political assassination is simply a non-American phenomenon, and we'll go so far as to believe these cartoon fictions.
Yeah. Well, see, the problem is that we will accept that bullets fly. We will recognize the president of Jamaica when 27 people plus more were murdered for him to be elected. The president of Korea comes in at the dinner, he shoots his successor.
That's right.
We get Pinochet, who actually guns down, literally, you know, Salvador Allende. Everyone we're recognizing came in through the absolute slaying of the people before them. And then we can't say that the vice president or the secretary of state wants the power now because their espionage system is getting unglued because of multinational banking scandals and the involvement of CIA with Nazis and narcotics. We can't say we've got to cover the gaps and Reagan's too new in Washington. We can't. I have the luxury of saying that thanks to my audience and friends, but the average person doesn't have the luxury of even saying it out loud. You know, even thinking the worst and proving it was wrong.
Yes.
Much less thinking the worst proving it was true.
That's right.
So that everyone they entertain is a gangland, banana republic crook.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to pretend that the succession is orderly and that this loner.
Yes. All we need is more psychiatrists to keep our kids from being, you know, toilet train too early because they end up killing presidents. You know, I mean, that's the
Well, you know, you go to the hotel room and there's a letter to Jodie Foster and the headline says, "The motive is there."
Yes.
The lonely wanderer. And that they were neglected by everybody. Society never recognized them. He wanted to be like his brother and he wanted to be like his sister, the homecoming queen. And he just went to... Yiddish word, Nebish College. Right. It's not the Harvard of the South. Well, Vanderbilt isn't Harvard either. Mm-hmm. They have to put that in, that it's the Harvard of the South. It's still just old Vanderbilt.
Yeah. You know, there's another parallel there. The cooperation of the press was so necessary in the Kennedy assassination, and it's so necessary now. The press answers the questions at the same time that they're asked, and they're neat little answers for people who don't want to delve into them.
I spent the whole week just taking the Washington Post, the two pages in that, last Sunday on the 5th of April, and the New York Times, the whole page on the Hinckley family. And I typed, like, the headline of the Washington Post, An Aimless Road to a Place in History, Hinckley's Odyssey and Troubles. See, then I listed what they leave out, that it wasn't necessarily aimless. He was protected by the judge in Nashville, Tennessee. He's protected by the FBI who don't fingerprint him. He's protected by his travels. As soon as the guns go off, he's taken to a Marine base. He doesn't have to go to an ordinary jail.
Protected by the FBI
he's
also.
He's protected by...
Because they didn't furnish his name to the Secret Service.
Never fingerprinted him. And he's protected by the CIA. He gets the most expensive attorney in the United States. He's protected by the courts that locked up all of his belongings and writings that should be available for a case, because now if Regan isn't dead, of course you're not going to expose that. But I spent the entire week just listing, like the Washington Post, this is their great article, Chip Brown and Neil Henry. Failure to graduate from college, failure to get a job, failure to measure to his brother and sister, failure to connect with his father, failure to distinguish life from art, failure to be recognized by Jodie Foster.
Oswald again, all this is failure.
So what I said is success. He obtained 7 weapons and traveled all over the country with them. Success. He was caught with 3 guns and 50 rounds of ammunition and was never fingerprinted at the airport. Success. He took courses on Adolf Hitler and Mein Kampf and slave labor in Auschwitz, where no other colleges hardly teach German Nazi history in any places that I know of. Success in locating Jodie Foster and finding the door to put notes under her, which would be very difficult at college like Yale with a guy who's freaked out, at least as spacey as the one I saw in front of my house. After 10 minutes, I said, go, you're danger to me. You know, success at having his own car and driving around without ever being seen and nobody knowing where he gets his gas. Success in getting 50 hollow bullets and inflicting almost mortal wounds and not being announced for days that they're in these people. Mm-hmm. Success to find out where the president would be at that moment, which is pretty hard to do, and success to get in and out of college never having debts or any problems, paying your airline fees, living in California 2 or 3 years,
success,
no job in his life, traveling. They mentioned Delta Airlines, American Airlines, flying around, buying 1 gun for 100. All they did, they mentioned 3 little items he hawked, like they found a pawn shop, a $15 silver watch in Hollywood Boulevard 5 years ago. And they can't find where he bought gas or if he was in front of my house in January. Isn't that like Oswald, the most minute details of babysitters, success at traveling to Texas, Chicago, St. Louis, Dallas, Nashville, New York, New Haven, Washington, D.C., never saying who took his picture in front of the White House, who he saw in Washington, D.C., his links. Success when he was arrested, not taken to an ordinary jail with other homicide cases. As I said before, getting his top lawyer. Where did he fail? I asked the question to myself. Yeah. He almost got Haig and Fritz Kramer's protege into office, and Bush, director of the CIA. Maybe this is what he wanted to do. Maybe he is helping a group of people that have claimed since the Kennedy assassination, and in volume 17 and 18 verbatim, if we did 8 or 10 murders, we would control the United States. Maybe he's doing just what he likes to do. Why? I don't see any inkling that he suffered.
That's right. And he was successful in getting in with the TV crew there. When you need a Secret Service press card, not just an ordinary press card, but you have to have clearance with the Secret Service to get in there.
Of course. I mean, these wanderers, you just don't wander, and they take down the guardrail and so forth. Everything that he wanted that would prove to a certain group of people, say, that Regan had to be done away with, every door was open for him.
Mm-hmm.
And people were predicting from the time Reagan won the election that he wouldn't live out his term, that it would be 3 or 4 months. And here's this guy at the right time, the right place, and Reagan still isn't out of the woods.
And Time Magazine is still at their old tricks. I mean, this article in the recent one showing this cartoon picture of Reagan and trying to present, I think the word madness is in the title, and trying to suggest that the country is mad, that's why presidents get killed. In other words, it's a kind of illness, and that we're all guilty somehow.
Yeah,
that propaganda campaign is very dangerous, because if we're feeling guilt about firearms or something like that, then we tend not to be active in rectifying situations. Guilt is a very harmful emotion in that sense. You know, you feel guilty, so you give up control.
Yes.
And they're trying to make Americans feel guilty for
this violence.
For
all of these assassinations.
Right.
Is America violent? And yet, if they would write those editorials after they've accounted for who took his picture, such
exactly.
as when E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy broke into Dr. Fielding's office, they had their picture. It was very common for the Nazis to be photographed where they did things and how they did them. They kept a record of everything. And he's smiling in front of the White House. And until the FBI or the Justice Department says who took the picture and what date and where he stayed and what phone calls he received, mm-hmm. how can they say within 2 days that he's the loner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Secret Service was directly across the street from the hotel that he stayed in, the headquarters.
Yes.
And they make note that he's near the White House, but they don't say he's near the Secret Service office, or that the agents were always over at the hotel having drinks.
Does that remind you of Oswald passing out supposedly pro-Castro leaflets out of the same building that housed the CIA office in New Orleans?
In New Orleans. That was another parallel, is that by Lee Harvey Oswald being seen with an altercation there, they could say that he had confrontations with the law enforcement, that he was having pro-Castro pamphlets. And as soon as he was put in jail, he called the FBI and said, "Let me out." Well, I think a parallel here, and I think you'd agree, is that going through Nashville and apprehended with these weapons the day Carter was there made it look like he's stalking or assimilated to Carter, so that if he shoots Reagan, it's a senseless thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The media twisted around that it was just senseless.
Mm-hmm. They keep using that word all the time.
Senseless and wandering. Sirhan, the wanderer.
Mm-hmm.
They wander, but what motels? They find the tackiest witnesses, like a maintenance man from a dormitory 5 years ago. Can have instant recall that all the shades were closed and he only had a TV. He may have had the shades closed, just like when Howard Hughes' room, all the shades were closed over the window so that nobody from an airplane could take a photograph of who was in the room. This is the truth. In the upper floors, they put boards over every window when they were wondering who was in those rooms, and black curtains.
Mm-hmm.
So for Howard Hughes, it's normal, but for Hinckley, it's a sign of a withdrawn inner person.
Right. Like, if a guy's robbing a liquor store and he kills the clerk, they don't say senseless murder. I mean, that's not senseless. He's killing the clerk in order to rob the store. You know, but when somebody kills a president, it's a senseless killing.
Sherman Skolnick believes that Hinckley can be attached to a man in Chicago, and possibly he was involved in a murder in a Jew in Chicago in 1977. He's putting this together, that Hinckley was working with the Nazi Party and an agent from the CIA who traveled all around the world. But the adjectives that we get with John Kennedy and all the others that we don't have time to go into with Hinckley, the wanderer, the loner, the senseless, the searching for history.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, they try to say that about Oswald, but we know too much about the real Oswald now. We know about the intelligence man at Atsugi Naval Base, the man who we have on tape speaking excellent English, speaking beautifully. And I have no doubt that we'll find out that Hinckley may have some of the same background that Oswald had.
Well,
connections with intelligence. Well, you've already established some.
Well, I was wondering about a group that went to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and the oil people, all of the people left. There are two areas that I've always pursued with the Kennedy assassination that I believe separated me from the intelligence agents that pretended to be doing the work. And one was the Torbett document with the missionary in the church front, particularly Albert Osborne from Nashville, Tennessee, who ran a Nazi camp of Boy Scouts funded through Permandex with his headquarters in Jamaica, Tyrol Bay, who was on the bus with Lee Harvey Oswald into Mexico. And the missionary that he had were not religious scout people, but assassins working with Division 5 of the FBI. Now, that was an area that very few people would use. And when I called Robert Blakey of the House Select Committee and said, do you have the Torbett document? He said, I won't answer you. I said, I'll send it to you. He said, I won't answer you. And he hung up. And it's interesting because this family, the Hinckley family, were devoutly Christian and working with the World Vision Group, which is a missionary group around the world in 85 countries that could possibly be an umbrella cloak for the intelligence operation. A religious, they called third world, but they mentioned Nigeria and Brazil and other non-third world countries. And is this the kind of missionary Christian group that funded Albert Osborne? Christian church groups from California, the Southwest, Oregon, all listed in the Warren Commission hearings, sending money to a man in Tennessee that they thought was a religious person, and he in turn gave it to assassins. And at the time that Hinckley went through Tennessee, when he was apprehended at the airport with handcuffs and 50 rounds of hollow ammunition and 3 guns, they let him off in 34 minutes. And his brother went to Vanderbilt in Nashville, Tennessee, and then to Singapore for an oil company, so that there's a ball of wax here. And in the other area of the Kennedy assassination that people, Lane and Sylvia Marr and the other researchers, wouldn't touch was all that information in the volumes, volume 18, page 700 and 800, of the links of men brought from Germany, military intelligence, into the Dallas area meeting with the CIA. There's a whole can of worms of people that had youth groups that would be very useful for future murders. And I wonder if in the 10 years after John Kennedy was killed, they picked up these young people, like these Hinckleys, John Hinckley, who came from arch-conservative, redneck, really Nazi mentality, the G. Gordon Liddy mentality, and that their son was not a bad branch off of their tree, but a part of the family tree, working more actively for getting the show on the road of getting a real fascist coup in this country, moving Reagan out. So that this neo-Nazi group in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I'll do more of it on other tapes, was the Hinckley family part of that milieu? What is the unfinished business of Dallas, like the missionaries, the church fronts, the assassination teams, which overlaps with the Hinckley family now with the missionaries and the untold money? In 1973-74, when Hinckley moved to Denver, Colorado, according to the Wall Street Journal, he was bankrupt. He had no money. And then Vanderbilt Energy all of a sudden came into a lot of money. And those were the same years where the Australian CIA money with narcotics and the Phoenix program and the assassination teams was dispersing money. And is the unfinished business of the Mo Dallas, Castle Bank, Giancana, Rosselli, even though they're dead, are those people still working for that one world fascism, as against what they call the one world Rockefeller communism? The far right considers David Rockefeller a one world giveaway, and anything that touches him as a communist one world, whereas they have said, we will assassinate or kill to make sure we're not in the clutches of, say, Chase Manhattan. So is the Hinckley group out of that fabric that began when Kennedy was killed? They lived right in the neighborhood. They were there till 74.
If that connection exists, how arrogant, how audacious these people are. I mean, you know, the connection between the Hinckley and the vice president is so close. I mean, they must have a lot of, they must have a lot of confidence to
well, it'd be as audacious as on November 23rd, if Lee Harvey Oswald's daughter is having dinner with Lyndon Johnson's daughter at the ranch. If she were old enough, you know, Rachel was 20 and is having lunch with Lyndon's daughter on the 23rd. You know, mm-hmm. Oswald, yes, I think to have this person arrested and airlifted to a military base and then hire the law office of Williams and Connolly, when Connolly was so much a part of the cover-up of the Kennedy assassination. And Williams, their attorney, was covering up the Bobby Baker, the Lyndon Johnson connections, the Connolly, the Watergate. He's been the attorney for this whole ball of wax. So that beyond the ballistics, you get into the oil energy, connecting links of the family, the neighborhood they lived in, H.L. Hunt's, the extreme right wing, you know, and they try, the media tries to present Hinckley as being a kid that somehow went sour. And we were talking about this before, the Texas rule of thumb was kill. Why, even Lyndon Johnson, our own president, was suspected of murdering the man whose seat he took. The plays on Broadway like McBird, why do we talk about South Korea? The literature that came out naming Lyndon Johnson as taking over because of the murder. There's some people that dare say it here. So I think the comparisons to Dallas, they exist because they haven't been cleaned up. Don't you think so?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think if Dallas had been studied at the time, these shots would never have been fired at Reagan.
That's right. And if it were studied today, it would stop more shots.
That's right.
It would get us back away from the bullets or blackmail and into the election box again and having a free choice. The people, innocently, I said this to the Republicans when they would put me down for doing research on the Kennedy assassination. I said, just wait till you get the man in that you want and see how long he lives. See if you really have a choice in this country. And a lot of Republicans began to see a little better, I think, in the last week and a half.
That's very interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to throw a lot of light on the kind of hidden government that might that's speaking right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, our hour is over. I think we could do about 10 or 20 hours on the similarities. they never end. But it begins with the ballistics and then gets deeper into specific people and places and time. Thank you very much, Ray, for being here.
It's my
really
pleasure,
great.
May. It's always fun to talk to you.
Okay. This is May Brussel in Carmel. You take care, and I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
Expect the unexpected. From KLRB, Carmel.
Supposed to sit on your ass and nod at stupid things. Man, that's hard to do. But if you don't, they'll screw you. If you do, they'll screw you too. And I'm standing in the middle of a diamond all alone. I always play to win when it comes.
Sometimes I say things I shouldn't, like and sometimes I say things I shouldn't, like